relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Complacency is a weakness that we patriots cannot afford. For this reason, Carr Firearms is teaming up with us here at America First in 2021. Carr believes Americans should not be afraid to publicly stand up for our Second Amendment freedoms. This is more than being a gun enthusiast. This has become a personal issue. The struggle for the soul of our nation. Carr Firearms wants America First listeners to know that they are not afraid to publicly support Second Amendment Fridays. Check out their amazing American products at KAHR.com. That's KAHR.com. Now, it's that time of the week. It's Friday, and we go to our, what shall we call her? Our expert on all things financial market based in just freedom, Trish Regan, the host of the Intel podcast, TrishIntel.com podcast. Trish, you have been telling our listeners for months now to expect the news that was just released. I'm sure the White House was expecting something else. Talk to us about the jobs figures.
Well, you're giving them the benefit of the doubt, then, if you think that they might have been expecting something else, because I look at this and I kind of think that they welcome this bad news. And we got really bad news, Seb. 6.1% unemployment. We saw, instead of the million jobs that economists had anticipated being added in the last month in April, we got like 200 and something thousand. Paltry number. Not at all what you should expect, given that the economy's reopening, given that spring is here, summer is coming. You should have seen a much, much, much better report. But I've been saying all along, you're not going to get a better report. You know why you're not going to get a better report? Because Joe Biden has made it that attractive to stay home on the couch.
Yep.
You got $300 a week, right, just from the federal government if you sit home. Uncle Joe wants you. He wants you to stay at home. And so it's like you're working for or not working for the government. You get the $300 from the federal government. You get money from the state as well. So why go to work? Why? This number is going to continue to be weak. Employers keep saying, we have jobs. We need people. We can't hire people. So that's why they only added 200 and something thousand jobs.
And it's not just the overall jobs figures. It's where the jobs are, and if you look at the political overlay, so this is from Jacob Bliss at Breitbart.com, states that voted for Joe Biden in the last election lost more than twice the number of jobs during the pandemic on average than the states that voted for Donald Trump. And this will see an extension of that. We still have governors like here, like in cities like D.C., that are extending the lockdown so that That cycle of dependence is only going to get worse in Democrat states and cities. Correct, Trish?
Well, you just said the word dependence, right? And that's why I said in the beginning, you got to wonder sometimes, is this by design? Do they want to create a dependent population? I would argue, sadly, for political reasons, that's exactly what they're up to. They're smart enough to know. And you know what? You go back to any Econ 101 textbook. I don't care. Pick anyone. And they will show you. I mean, you can actually like graph it out, right? You're going to destroy incentives by people are logical, right? Like Americans are smart. Like we get it. if you say you're going to earn $300 from federal government, another $200-$300 from state, you're going to get $600 a week to sit on your couch. Why go bother washing dishes?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense at all. So as we try to get this economy back, this has such a ripple effect. But what they're doing is they're creating a dependence on Democrat politicians. And so I look at this and I think it is by design, and I find it positively disgusting, because no one should want a dependent population. Our politicians should be doing everything they can to make sure Americans can succeed, American business owners can succeed, and the population itself can succeed. And they're doing the antithesis of that step.
Follow her right now, Trish_Regan on Twitter, trishintel.com, and the host of the Trish Intel podcast. Let's go one level deeper into this analysis, Trish. One of my significant concerns is that dependency function, that diminution of incentive because of the handouts, is going to be especially attractive for those who work in the service sectors, who work in the food industry. And that's the industry that's been hit the hardest. So isn't this going to be a double whammy for the restaurant owners in Democrat states and cities, that the people they need to get back into their businesses are the ones who will be most comfortable with the handouts?
Well, you know what you're getting at is inflation, I think, Seb. And I think inflation has already reared its ugly head, and it's going to get so much worse. Think about it. If you're a business owner, now you're competing with Uncle Joe. All right, you've got to offer salary that's better than the federal government. The problem is, you can't sacrifice on profitability. If you're a small business owner running a restaurant, you're barely making it as it is, especially in light of all that's happened. So what do? You up prices. And the question is, will they go for that? You know, already we've seen some evidence that they're okay with it because, hey, people are flush with cash. They've gotten all these handouts. You know, the money seems pretty easy. They've been saving, right, over the last year because they haven't been going out so much. So this is how inflation starts. We've already seen restaurant prices in the latest data going up 3.9%. Gas prices have skyrocketed. Overall energy prices in the latest data.
And construction, the cost of construction items.
Oh,
lumber is up at 200-300%.
Yes, and raw materials. I mean, it's copper. Copper's like killing it, right? If you've invested in copper, you're all set. So all of these things are being inflated, which means producers are paying more for raw materials and now for labor. They're going to pass those costs along. And so then you start to get into a situation where the Federal Reserve said we'll have no choice at some point but to up interest rates to curb the inflation. That is their job, to watch for inflation. And that's when it all comes to a screaming halt. I mean, that is when they talk about the bubble bursting. Like, things are good now. The market's happy because they're like, oh, okay, the Fed's going to have to keep things, you know, status quo for the interim or for the near term. But what happens when the Fed starts to change its course?
Yeah.
That's when we really start to have problems. I mean, this is just, I look at this policy and I'm like shaking my head because it really is moronic. But yet, I think deliberate. It is creating a dependent class of people, and I suspect that is their goal.
Let me ask you, Trish, to get your crystal ball out. So I had a very enlightening yet very disturbing lengthy discussion with a very, very wise financial professional last week while I was on the road. And he kind of flipped my understanding of the markets, and he said, "You don't want to invest. You want to have income. You want to have invest in things that provide income. Just accruing stuff is not safe because this economy is fundamentally a bubble. Even the real estate prices we're seeing is a bubble. If something bursts, if something crashes, where do you see the greatest vulnerability? Where could it be first, Trish? Which sector?"
Well, the stock market, equity prices, for sure. I mean, that's what worries me. I mean, I keep saying, and I'll say this for now, but at some point I will change my tune because I watch yields on, I'm going to get really wonky on you, on the 10-year treasury. Mm-hmm. And once that starts to go up, it means that America's paying more right, for debt. It means it's going to cost everyone more to take out credit. And so that's when you really start to see, when you see the debt markets show some vulnerabilities, well, that's when you really need to wake up and say, okay, it's going to hit equities. Right now, it hasn't hit the stock market, but it certainly could, because we are trading at all-time highs. We just hit another high in the stock market, said, even though we're not adding the kind of jobs that we should. So what's that about? It's about all this money chasing something. At some point, reality will set in. It will be ugly. I don't think that time is necessarily today or even in the next couple of months. I suspect it's coming, though.
But this calendar year, right?
That's
for sure. We're talking about this calendar year.
This calendar year, will it hurt?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even necessarily say that. I think that people need to still be invested, because here's the problem. There is this run-up. At some point, when you start to see a switch, right, when you see Treasury yields creeping higher and you start to see the beginnings of change, it will hit. I don't necessarily know if it's going to be this year, but for sure before 2024, it could be another 16 months out. Look, people are excited right now. They're believing in this recovery, but it's a very precious recovery.
Yes,
I mean,
it's fragile.
You really got to get it right. Yeah, you got to get
fragile.
It right.
And it's precious.
I think today's number is evidence they're getting it absolutely wrong.
Make yourself less vulnerable. Educate yourself. Listen to this woman. Read what she writes. Trish _ Regan, also writing at American Consequences. But most importantly, TrishIntel.com, the Trish Intel podcast. God bless. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Next, National Security with Jim Carafano. Relief Factor. If you're in daily pain and have tried other remedies and nothing has worked, you've got to try this 100% drug-free remedy that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans, me included. Go to 800-500-8384, talk to relieffactor.com, order your three-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do, and I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for tens of thousands of Americans. You've waited long enough. This is the opportunity to find out if it works for you. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Car Firearms is fighting for America. Car executives stand with America first and are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for liberty. Please support our Second Amendment Friday sponsor, an amazing line of U.S. manufactured weapons. Go to KAHR.com. That's KAHR.com today. It's Friday. It's national security, foreign policy with, as ever, the vice president of the conservative mothership, the Heritage Foundation, Jim Carafano. Follow him at JJ Carafano on Twitter. Jim, we could devote the rest of the next hour to just national security stuff, at least, not to mention Chinese rockets falling from the sky. But first, let me share with you, because we haven't spoken for over a week. Jeff and I said, well, why don't we have a look at what's at the border?
Right.
So I bought a camera, two plane tickets, and we went to Arizona. Mark Lamb hosted us, Sheriff Lamb, Pinal County.
Yep.
60 miles from the border. We get off the highway. 2 minutes later, he shows us more evidence than I've ever seen on any news report of smuggling. Camouflaged equipment, hats, backpacks, the carpet overshoes that the smugglers used to cover their tracks. And we thought it was staged, but everywhere he stopped, he showed us this. We talked to the local ranchers. We filmed it. It's going to be on my Newsmax show this Sunday. You've got to see it. People have to start taking this seriously,
but
Jim.
This is a really important point, because we all focus on the raw numbers, and they seem overwhelming. But what people do not understand is all the concomitant problems that the Biden open border policies created. One of them is every transnational gang says who got kicked out of the United States, they said, now is the time.
Now's the time.
And they have to, people have to understand how important this is for the transnational gangs, because they are the network nodes that facilitate criminal activity that runs from deep in Latin America all the way through Canada.
Yeah, they're like transnational corporations.
And they want to have nodes in every little city. They destroy communities. They victimize people. They are the worst. They're the foot soldiers of the cartels. They're the worst of the worst. And they're all coming now because they think now is the time to get here. Biden has created a 2,000-mile toll booth for the cartel. They will literally make tens of billions of dollars. You know what this reminds me of? Back in the day, well-intentioned people created prohibition.
The Falstead Act, right.
We're going to be more humanitarian, right?
We're going to save lives.
Created the biggest crime wave in American history and birthed the modern organized crime.
Right?
Biden is creating a new generation of organized crime that is going to have more money, more technology, and more power than any criminal organization in the history of humankind. And Biden is giving them more money than Obama gave to the Iranians.
Yeah. It's like, if you want to understand economics, look at incentives. This is about incentives. You don't do politics, you do policy. But I have to ask you from the policy perspective. Is there a point at which they say this is really a crisis? Are we ever going to see that out of the White House?
Probably not. But the interesting thing, and we've talked about this before, is when you talk to everyday Americans, not just Republicans, they are completely underwater on this issue. So they have lost.
You mean the White House?
Yes. Yeah. They have lost the American people. Nobody in America thinks that this is a good thing. They all think this is really bad. But it's like the guys that were racing for the top of Mount Everest, right? And they were out of food. The weather was coming in. The Sherpas all abandoned them. But they saw the summit, right? And they were, it was Mallory and that other guy, right?
Right.
They're just going to keep going, right? They see H.R. 1, the American Jobs Plan, the American Family Plan, this massive legislative agenda. And it's like, who cares if the Americans hate us? Who cares if... Because once we put these things in place, we will own America and we will never give it back. And so they're willing to do...
To die on this hill.
Yes, I think that's right.
That's frightening.
At least that's where they are now.
That's frightening. Okay, something else that could be frightening is a 100-foot-long, 23-ton thing falling from the sky.
Yeah, I mean...
Is this a big deal? The Chinese?
Do you need more reasons to not like Beijing? You know, we have this great podcast. For folks who like a podcast, I can't even spell podcast. It's called China.
Give me your phone. I'll switch it off. Give it to me.
Okay.
I'll do it.
It's called China Uncovered. Thank you. But he's too old to realize that. It's got a great, just a wild segment on there.
You got a China dedicated podcast.
Yeah. It's season one. It's called China Uncovered. It's on Apple and everything. And Newt Gingrich just gave an out of control interview.
Nice.
On it. But it's like we have every reason in the world to look at the government of Beijing and say, you are the worst thing that's hit the planet Earth since Genghis Khan. And now they're going to drop a 23-ton piece of space junk on us?
But you said in the break, the good thing is...
Yeah, it's a big planet.
It's a big
small
planet.
Small space junk.
So who knows where it
falls.
And
a lot of
falls.
It's ocean. So we're just hopeful that it'll kill a lot of plastic. But seriously,
I got asked this question yesterday by John Batchelor on his great show. And I'm not even going to say what I said. I want to ask it to you. Are you seeing any signs out of this administration that they get China? Because, Jim, let me preface it with this. I follow Australian media,
right. Okay?
Australian media is reporting that members of the flipping cabinet and the military staff are talking about impending war. Australians don't do hyperbole, right. Jim.
Yeah. How much time do we have for the break?
We've got 2.5 minutes.
Okay, good. No, because I'll need five. Look, this is the... really understanding what the Biden administration is all about. And the term, it's very technical, like risk averse, right? And their approach to the world, because we've got to change America and we've got to make sure everybody's woke and we have 47 genders and we're all
eating. DC's a state.
And we're all eating, plantless meat, right? Their approach to foreign policy is, if I don't do anything, if I don't go there, I don't do that, then I will avoid problems and avoid risks and things. And so they really want to do, ironically, the minimum they get by. And we know, we say, oh, they're the globalists and all that. But honestly, they're way more isolationist than Donald Trump ever was. They don't want to do anything.
Which is good if you're a bad guy. Because you exploit that.
That's the point. And so, and the, what's the response to that? The response to that is, okay, I have to do something. So I'll do as little as possible to make them stop. Like this screaming child. Look, here's a chocolate. Stop screaming. Oh, they're still screaming. Okay, here's two chocolates. All right, stop screaming. Okay, no supper for you. And so it's this incremental approach. But of course, from the bad guy's perspective, that is awesome because they're like, oh, I can handle that.
It's a show of weakness.
You know, right. I'll just scream a little more. Or if stop screaming for a bit. And then when you turn your back, I'll scream some more. So there's actually somebody in the administration actually said this. Well, let's hope the big giant space chunk doesn't fall on anything, because if it does, then we'll have to take this up with China. But we'd really rather not, you know. So, if it falls on New York City, well, then, I don't know, we might have to say, okay, no dinner for you guys. You know, time out. The big China time out. But on the other hand, if it falls in the ocean, we'll say, oh, well, you know, don't do that again. Don't next time try it, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's not going to work. It's not going to work with China. It's not going to work with Iran. It's not going to work with North Korea. It's not even going to work with our ally. Everybody's going to play Biden for a chump.
Who was it? Was it Buck Sexton? Sandra and our show said, they walk softly and carry a twig. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C. Stay on this channel.
I was at our publications table today, and I was speaking to this young person from Arizona who's trying to fight SB 1070. And he grabbed a book and he said, it's like Mao's Red Book. And I was like, man, that's what I was thinking. And it was just really cool to hear him make that connection.
Yes, so cool that I'm an American and I'm a co-founder of Black Lives Matter, and somebody thinks that my book is like Mao's little red book that only cost the lives of, oh, I don't know, 30 million people. Isn't that what you aspire to be compared to Mao, Jim?
Absolutely. I mean, who wouldn't want to be compared to one of the greatest mass murderers in human history? Who among other things, did great things like the Cultural Revolution,
yeah,
where they took entire families and imprisoned them and beat them and starved them until they confessed all their sins. I was thinking about this, right? Because all these yahoos, right? They were all taught by professors who were the radicals of the 1960s, right?
Right.
And if you went back to the 1960s and you grabbed these people and you said, what's cool, dude? And they go, well, we hate government, man. Big government. We hate big government. I hate big government.
Never trust the government.
And you know, we want to be super nonconformist and we want to be free thinking and people should be able to do whatever they want. You know, now being the progressivists, we like big government. Everybody should think like we do. There should be complete conformity. There should be no freedom of thought.
Hang on, Jim. The only people who should have guns are the government. Can you imagine from the 1960s?
I think that we should, like, if you could take, this would be a great sci-fi movie, if you could take them
right
in the 1960s.
And make them today's.
And bring them today and show them how the generation they turned out. They would be horrified.
Yeah.
They'd like,
but you know the cool thing is,
give me an acid hit. What?
Conservatives are now the cool kids, the counterculture.
Well, this is right? Be proud.
Join Heritage now. Heritage.org. Okay, stop having fun and let's talk business.
Damn it.
Afghanistan. Should I stay or should I go?
What you should do is protect America's interests.
Bingo. See, that was a strategic answer.
Right.
And how does that look like in relation to Afghanistan?
Right. So America's interests are twofold.
So
one is, you know, we don't want it to be a big terrorist sanctuary. We've seen what happens when that happens. We saw it in Afghanistan. We saw it in Syria. We saw it in Iraq. We saw it in Libya. You don't want terrorist Disneyland. They're just not good, right? Even the toy shops, the gift shops are bad. And the other thing is you don't want the region to collapse in instability. You have a nuclear India, nuclear Pakistan. You don't want them to butt heads. You want India to be prosperous and powerful and independent because they are a bulwark against the expansion of Chinese influence. So all you want is an Afghanistan that doesn't fall apart.
And what does that require in terms of our engagement?
Well, today it was about 2,000 guys and girls, which was, oh, by the way, less people than we had around the Capitol building.
Yes, here in D.C. Right.
It was costing us in Afghanistan less to keep our troops there for a year than what Obama would spend in a week.
Right.
And the Americans were not, I mean, fighting and they were not involved in an endless war. They weren't fighting anybody. We had more casualties in other deployments around the world, right, in Africa and Western Europe than we actually, from training accidents, than we actually had in Afghanistan.
So host nation support.
Yeah. And so, you know, for at a reasonable cost for however long that took us, that was fine. But we all became fixated on the number. And the thing is I really think, and this is, I have friends who don't like, I get that. That's fine. We can disagree. That's great. But really, this is an issue, a political issue for kind of people, you know, the small America in the world footprint on the far here and on the far other side. The vast majority of Americans, they were not obsessing about this. So there's not one vote to be gained. But it's political because they can placate the extremes of the political spectrum. It's like throwing raw meat to them.
We got 30 seconds left, but these analogies, somebody did it to me on another show, the analogies to Saigon and Vietnam are so asinine, aren't they?
Right, of course. So it's ridiculous.
Utterly incomparable.
And look, and you know, the reality is the reason why South Vietnamese collapsed is we just stopped sending them ammunition.
Right.
Because Congress cut off the spending.
Right. They couldn't protect themselves.
We didn't have troops. And they lost the war because North Vietnam invaded and they ran out of bullets to shoot at them. Right.
That's how it usually works. Yeah. We're talking to Jim Carafano. Follow him on Twitter at JJ Carafano. He is the vice president for all things national security and foreign policy at the Conservative Mothership. We love the Heritage Foundation. Join today, heritage.org. Very special Second Amendment guest next. We are broadcasting to you from the relieffactor.com studios. When you call us, and we will take calls, please tell me you're using a cell phone that's not with one of the big cell phone providers because they're not on your side. Go with the only Christian conservative cell phone company, Patriot Mobile. Switch your number today and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months of service plus a free Patriot starter kit. And you can apply for the Be a Patriot promotion where you can win a phone and cellular service for life. Do it today. Call 972-PATRIOT or go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. There's three ways to win. You can donate to one of their conservative charities, switch your service to Patriot today, or just answer the question, what does it mean to you to be a Patriot? For these massive discounts, use promo code GORKA at patriotmobile.com, especially discounted rates also for first responders and to vets. Please do it today. Join the good guys. We need to stick together more than ever. 972-PATRIOT, that's 972-728-7468, or just go to their website, patriotmobile.com/GORKA, and all their service representatives are U.S.-based, rated number one in customer service. patriotmobile.com/GORKA.
This is Second Amendment Friday on America First, brought to you by Carr Firearms.
Carr Firearms is fighting for America. Carr executives stand with our show, America First, and are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand for liberty. Please support our new Second Amendment Friday sponsor, Carr Firearms. Check out their amazing line of carry handguns at KAHR.com. That's KAHR.com. I often have a 9mm Carr on my ankle. They're that good. I'm going to share with you. So, you know what's cool about being a radio show host on a nationally syndicated program that live streams on Rumble as well? Sometimes it really is like being a kid in a candy store. If you're into guns and the Second Amendment like I am, if you spent years scouring the internet for that gun that, oh, you know, is just so special. And you find it and you buy it and you add it to your collection. And then you ask the man who makes that gun whether he'd come on the show. And he says yes. Then you know you're having fun. I get a lot of stick from you guys because of my comments about the AR-15. Yes, I've got half a dozen of them. But I'm an AK guy. And we have the man who makes the best AKs on the planet. And I mean including Russia. He's none other than Mark Krebs of Krebs Custom. Mr. Krebs, welcome to America First.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, I have to tell you, I think I told you yesterday when we first connected, I must have five of your Krebs guns. They are like the Rolls Royce of assault rifles as far as I'm concerned. Will you tell us, our listeners, our millions of listeners and viewers, how you got into this business and why you went for this ugly piece of Russian machinery that's just so beautiful to some of us?
Well, I guess I was working in machine shops and I'd hurt my back, and I knew I needed a little bit of break from production work, and I went to Lassen College in California to gunsmithing school. And then when I came back, I went into general gunsmithing and whatnot, and then we started building race guns or IPSC guns.
So competition handguns.
Correct. And we did that for 10, 15 years and or better. And then I remember the assault rifle ban had passed and things were very gloomy. And I saw Sega rifles.
So Sega and, being the civilianized version, the Russian manufactured AK platform.
Yes. And I thought, my God, we can actually get Russian AKs, and they were in a sporting configuration, but I knew better. And so we started grabbing those, and I remember a lot of people thought I was turned into a wino and started living in a cardboard box because I started working on AKs. But the first AK I ever saw was actually at my friend's house. It was a Valmet M71, which I still have.
The Finnish, and, the Finnish AK, beautiful gun.
Yeah, they're awesome. There's a couple things that they could do on their stamp models, but the all the machined ones are awesome. And the stamped ones are awesome, too. It's just after way prolonged use. But anyway, I'm kind of drawing this out too much. But I thought I went after the AK because it was the best platform.
And tell us about what it is you do to them. I don't want to gush anymore. So you took original Sega ones with the wooden stocks, the sporterized versions, and you converted them into what modern, your idea of a modernized AK for civilian uses. Is that the philosophy?
Right. Well, like our main rifle, the AC-18, is adaptive carbine, you know, and that's to have a rifle that's very close to original weight and will accept everything.
And tell us what you've seen. You still are supplying amazing weapons at KrebsCustom.com. Tell us what you've experienced as a manufacturer of these weapons in just the last year. What's happened to the firearms market in the Second Amendment?
Well, you know, the censorship and the, you know, if you're free, you get it for free, or if you're unemployed, you get it for free, and if you work, you don't, you know, and we get, the whole industry is stressed, as the whole country is because of COVID. And the two are starting to bunch up, and like even the fastener industry is completely beat, you know. And, you know, it may sound wimpy, but rivets, screws, nuts, all that stuff is a big industry, you know. And when things slow down that bad, it's bound to affect everybody. And it is, and it's deeper than that, you know. We're not over it. we're going to experience it new, I think.
Well, you used the phrase gloomy to describe the assault weapons ban of the 1990s. Is it worse today? How serious or how grave are your fears, Mr. Krebs?
Well, you know, man, I've seen this for 35 years, you know, and not to say it too loud, but I mean, we enjoy more stuff than we had back then. And with good legal representation and people sticking to their stuff, I think we'll be okay. I think a lot of the stuff is liberal saber rattling so that people will feel comfortable about their choice with Biden. And I don't know. You know, we've been a part of this forever. I mean, we're on the Feinstein bill, crime bill, you know.
But it's something we have to take seriously.
All the Yuko pistols on the planet, you know, and we built 50 of them. That was our first large batch, you know, as a custom place.
Well, listen, guys, I am a huge fan. Even if you're into AR-15s, I get it. It's the American rifle. I understand. Armalite, I love it too. But if you want to try something different, and if you want to try something excellent, take my word for it, KrebsCustom.com. We've been talking to Mark Krebs. It's K-R-E-B-S, K-R-E-B-S, custom.com. God bless you, Mr. Krebs, doing what you do, and keep it up. And everybody, listen to this man. Take it seriously. It was gloomy then. It may be saber-rattling now, but we take nothing for granted. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Group Captain Membrick speaking. This is a public announcement. To all the sane and reasonable people in the world, I'd like you to know the Democrats are a sandwich short of a picnic. Thank you for your attention. Goodbye.
I might have to watch Smokey and the Bandit tonight. Not just because it's a good soundtrack. It's a fun movie. You know, I watched my wife last night on the TCM channel. Wild Geese 2. Maybe a little bit B-movie-ish, but anything with James Fox and Scott Glenn. Gotta be good. Oh, and Larry! Laurence Olivier. How do you get Laurence Olivier into a mercenary movie? You gotta check it out if you haven't. It's a classic 1980s movie. Was it made before Jeff was born or not? That is the question. We'll look into it. Let's go straight to your calls. Matt, North Carolina, line 4. Matt, welcome.
Hello, Dr. G. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to say earlier, which I told you whole screen, I believe it was Mr. G. It was said it's Donald from Los Angeles always has something good to say.
He always does. And that voice, Matt.
I know. It's incredible.
I know.
I thought, oh, wow. Miss Don. I've heard him several times before. He's always got something good to say. You know, like your other caller, Ray, the other day when I thanked you for the book. Okay. So here's the point. Trish Regan is very intelligent. Love her call. And here's the good one I told Mr. G. I saw... Look like to me, you're the same photo of you on the cover of the War for America's Soul when those snowflakes, we called them, were complaining about you supporting President Trump. I was disgusted. I almost spit my coffee.
What were you watching?
Fox News, which I thought I could halfway trust. You're reporting on these snowflakes complaining about you supporting President Trump. I was so disgusted.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Poor snowflakes.
You know, those wimpy liberals, we don't like Dr. Sebastian Gorka supporting President Trump, and we're mad, and I just got disgusted.
All right, well, when the liberals are complaining about me, that means everything's going just fine. Thank you, Matt. Happy Friday. Let's squeeze in Sylvia in Hollywood. Welcome, Sylvia.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Dr. Gorka. I just want to say quickly, I know you have the ear of the president, which is President Trump. I don't want to call or listen to people calling Biden President Biden. Why do we do that?
I can Trump fully relate. You know, when it comes out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, I, I stop and I...
No, but you're doing great. You call him President Trump.
Sometimes slips out. I'm sorry, Mayor Culpa. I think it's been twice since January the 20th, but I just call him Sleepy Creepy, and people know who I'm talking about.
Yes, but Dr. Gorka, please, President Trump needs to come out with a social platform that is free to join as Twitter and Facebook. That's what they're ruling, because it's free, you know?
What is just as important, if not more, Sylvia? No. Rallies. We need Trump rallies. Am I right?
You drop social media. Drop them all. We got 100 million, not 74 million votes. 100 million, 20 million were stolen.
We can win, especially with people like Sylvia. This is America First. Don't touch that dial.